اتخذ له وليا مرشدا، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الله في كتابه العزيز: يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار، وما توعدون لآت وما انتم بمعجزين. ثم اما بعد، my dear respective brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah we will continue the zakah lecture of last time where we left it, and this is a continuation of the zakah class last time. We remember last time when we stopped at the who we can give our zakah. After we calculate our zakah, we calculate the 2.5% out of our zakah, the wealth that we explained last time, then we will give it to, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated, إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله. But the sadaqat, the charities are obligatory charities are only for the poor, the needy, those employed to collect the funds for to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined toward Islam, to free the captives, the slaves, for those in debt, and for Allah's cause, the mujahideen. And for the wayfarer, stranded, a duty imposed by Allah. Verse number 60, surah number 9. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already legislated to who we give our zakah. We give it to the poor one, and we give it to the needy one, poor, the destitute. Okay, we give it to the destitute, we give it to the one who does not have sufficient of main necessities in his life. We give it to those who are employed to collect it, those who are collecting it. We give it to the one who are inclining towards Islam. Before, like I said before, that you give it to a Christian or a Jew, whatever, but he is or she is inclining towards Islam, and could be your, since most of you are Muslims from America, then I would say even from your own family, those who are inclined toward Islam. And you give it to those who are in debt, and you give it to those, to the mujahideen, for Allah's cause. And also you give it to the wayfarer. The wayfarer, he is the stranded one, the one who does not have a way back. He got being stranded, he been left behind maybe, and then or his car broke down, or something happened to him, then you give that zakah to him. And this is here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, لا حظ فيها لغني ولا لقوي مكتسب, that the zakah, it should not be given to a wealthy man and strong that able to earn a living. The hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the zakah, the obligatory charity, should not be given to the wealthy one. You don't give to the wealthy. The wealthy is given out his zakah. Okay, he's obligatory charity. And not to the someone who is strong and capable to earn his own living. But you give it to the 8 categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah of Repentance. So the poor is the destitute, needy of things. The miskeen, which is the one who possesses 70 to 80% of his needs. So the necessity should be based on what he and his family need of food, clothing, housing, anything that he cannot do without. The scholar said we must consider the place, the time, the individual, and the number of the children of the individual that whom we're going to give our zakah, if he is the poor or destitute. Necessity also, some scholar said, could include medical treatment, helping the one who is getting married and the student. Student who has a debt, for example, you help him, or to buy his books, for example. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, "Qala Umar radiallahu anhu, idha ataytum fa'aghnu." He said, "If you give, then give sufficiently." That means enough to cover one's expenses. The collectors of zakah, those who are appointed by Muslim ruler, we do not have it. He should be paid a wage for what he does, considering time and effort. The one who is collecting the zakah, so the one who is good, you know, if we are in Islamic country, the ruler would appoint collectors that will, they will, their job is to collect the zakah from people, from the wealthy people, those who must pay this obligatory charity. Number 4, those whose hearts are inclined toward Islam. Again, like I said, you give it to the disbeliever that he is inclining toward Islam, and that's to make him love or like Islam more and maybe accept Islam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Safwan ibn Umayyah a portion of the spoils of Hunayn. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Safwan ibn Umayyah, okay, a portion of the spoils of the Battle of Hunayn, and this is also to stop or to block any bad or evil coming from the disbeliever. You can give him from the charity to stop also any evil or any bad things could come from him to against the Muslims. Or you can give him to bring some good to the Muslims. If you think some, you know, if you give him charity, that disbeliever. Five, number five, to free slaves, to purchase the slave of freedom. We don't have slaves anymore. So this one is not in the picture anymore. But if ever again we have slaves, then the zakah can be paid to free slaves. But instead we can do else, that we can ransom Muslim prisoner. Some scholars said to ransom Muslim prisoners of war from the enemy. If there is a war between Muslim and disbelievers, the zakah can be paid to free those prisoners of war. Number six, the debtors who are in debt, don't have money to pay. Of course, the scholar said there must be lawful debt incurred, like living expenses, accidental damages, etc. In the way of Allah, number seven. I want to elaborate a little bit about the debtors. I said someone in debt, and it is lawful debt. Lawful debt. That he must, or she must, you know, pay back. Then the zakah can be used to give this person to pay his zakah, his debt. Number seven, in the way of Allah, those who are guarding Muslim frontiers militarily and are not in payroll. You know, you can give the zakah to the mujahideen and also to those who are guarding the frontiers of the Muslim land, and they are not paid by their own government. Or you can equip Muslim soldiers. Money of zakah can be used to prepare dua callers, those dua callers who call to Islam and call to the way of Allah, by sending them, for example, to the kuffar nations, the disbelieving nations. So this is our the way of Allah. And the way of Allah is a really broad statement. A lot of scholars use it for many, but we are satisfied with this example that I did mention in number 7, the category number 7. The number 8 and the last one, wayfarer who is stranded far away from his home, and his trip must be for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means this wayfarer, he makes the journey to please Allah, not to displease him. He's not going for gambling from state to another or from place to another. He's going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if his trip being cut off for whatever accident or whatever something been happening to him, then the zakah money can be given to him so he can continue his trip. Or someone in the business and he lost his business, all of that. These are to be taken into consideration, that this wayfarer must be paid from the zakah. Of course, you must, if you have zakah to give, you must be very careful to whom you've given your zakah. Don't give your zakat to anyone, just anyone. Someone is wealthy, you know, and you give him zakat. You are not being careful in giving your zakat. You must give it to these 8 categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the surah of Tawbah. You must have a niyyah, intention, when you give in your zakah. That means you are intending to please Allah out of this zakah. You intend to please Allah by paying your zakah dues. The zakah should not be to the family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shouldn't be to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna sadaqa la tanbaghi li ali Muhammad, innama hiya awsakh an-nas." He said, "The sadaqa, the obligatory charity, which is zakah, is not lawful to the family of Muhammad. Indeed, it is the filth of people." So actually the zakah is the filth of people. People try to cleanse their sins with giving the zakah. When they give the zakah, the obligatory zakah, they are cleaning themselves from the sins. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even here, got on one of his grandchildren, Hassan or Hussein, one of them, and he said kikh kikh, and he said don't. He was eating, you know, because he saw him eating a date. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared that date to be a zakah date, a date that's coming from zakah. So it is not lawful. And also a person who is receiving, the recipient of zakah, he should not look forward to have the zakah, because it is the filth of people. Even though can be given to the 8 categories, to the poor person, to the needy, to the destitute, to the wayfarer, to those who are in debt, yes, can be given to those 8 categories, but the zakah itself is the filth of people. People try to cleanse themselves from their sins by giving their dues on the zakah. So a person should not strive himself to get the zakah money or to enjoy getting the zakah money. Is the free money, I can use it? No, because it's not good. It's the filth of people. You don't give your zakah to your parents, who you taking in charge of. If they are in charge, you are in charge of them. You don't give your parents or grandparents from both sides. Or you don't give to your children or grandchildren if they are in your charge. If they are in your charge, you don't give your parents from both sides, or grandparents or children or grandchildren, your zakah. You don't give them, even if they are according to the 8 categories, because if they are in charge of you, everyone, if you are in charge of him, is not lawful for him to receive the zakah. Now the where you can give your money. Now we know whom we give our money, who we can give our money in 8 categories. But to who? In the sense we are in America, there is no Islamic government whatsoever who we can give. If you know these 8 people, 8 categories, directly you can give them the money and that's finished. Finished right there. You know someone that he is in need or poor, that means he goes under these 8 categories, then you give it to him directly. If you don't want to have the hassle and people will know how much money you have and what you give in, and you may not be able to give the person, the same person every year. So taking this into consideration, then in America or elsewhere where there is no Muslim government, then give your zakah directly to who? Directly to the masjid. The masjid, the Islamic center of your locality. The Islamic center of your locality, you give it to them, either you give it to hand in hand, or you give it in the envelope and make sure that you write in the envelope, zakah money. Zakah money. Zakah of the wealth. Okay? You make sure that you write that even on your checks. So the people will know that this money should be distributed to those who are eligible for zakah. And also ask your locality, the masjid that you reside, where you reside, ask people in the masjid, do they distribute the zakah according to the book of Allah and the sunnah? Because sometimes you find some Islamic centers in America and elsewhere, they don't differentiate. They just collect the money all and they think that they can use it in all for everything in the masjid. They can use it in the masjid or raise it. So it's better to differentiate. So you ask the Islamic center whether they do have the zakah fund so they can distribute it accordingly. This is very important. It is your job to make sure that the Islamic center where you live, that he does, you know, distribute the zakah fund properly. And I'm saying that you must give your zakah, you must give your zakah to the local people who are in need, either directly by you giving them, or you can give them to the Islamic center of your locality. Why? Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the hadith, he said, the hadith is very clear, he said, O Mu'adh, I am sending you to Yemen, the translation of the hadith, O Mu'adh, I am sending you to Yemen, and you're going to find people of the book, the first thing that you call them to is to believe in Allah. To believe in Allah and that I am the Prophet of Allah. If they obey to that, then let them know that I ordain upon them 5 salah, 5 prayers in the day and night, daily. If they obey to that, then inform them that it will be a portion of their wealth to be taken, obligatory portion of their wealth to be taken from their wealthy ones and given to the poor among them. So this hadith is very clear to the scholars that they based that these zakah must be given to the people of your locality. Of your locality and where you earn the money. You earn it in Washington, D.C., you must give your zakah in Washington, D.C. to your local people. some scholars talk about transferring the zakah. He said, brother, I am a foreigner, I'm not an American, and I earn money in America or in the state of Ohio or Florida, and I want to give the zakah overseas, the obligatory charity. You can transfer the zakah to who he needs it from country to another if the original people had enough from it. Okay, so what does that mean? That means you can give it to, you can send it to Jordan or you can send it to Egypt, the zakah, okay? After, if you are in America, after the local people had enough from that zakah. If they are not in need of it, like I said, you are in Connecticut. Connecticut is one of the wealthiest states. And you have very good job, and every Muslim in the state of Connecticut has good job. They don't really need for zakah. Then at that time, or there is a little people who wants zakah, but not a lot, then at that time, whatever left of your zakah in, for example, state of Connecticut, you may transfer it, you may send it to overseas to whom you think they need it. If they did not suffice themselves from it, the local people, the hadith clearly indicates that the zakah to be spent and paid on the poor of where the funds were collected. The goal of zakah is to satisfy the poor of each country. And if you take and transfer the zakah to another country, the poor of that country will stay poor. That means if you send your zakah to another country and you refuse to give it to the local people, the poor people or those who eight categories who are under the eight categories, and you don't give them the zakah, the local people, your local people, where you earn the zakah, I mean the money of the zakah, then the people of your locality will stay poor. Will stay poor. They will never make it. Look to this, my dear respected brothers. We always refer to the four schools of thought. The Hanabila. Okay? Now, the Hanabiya, the school of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, the school of Imam Malik, and the school of Imam Shafi'i, they said, all of them agreed that you cannot transfer the zakah. You cannot transfer the zakah from locale to another. You must give it to the people of your locality, because the hadith that I mentioned earlier, that to be taken from their poor, their rich ones, and given to the poor among them. But the Ahnaf, the school of Abi Hanifa, they said, قالوا إنه يكره نقلها إلا أن ينقلها إلى قرابة محتاجين لما في ذلك من صلة رحم أو جماعة هم أمس حاجة من أهل البلد أو كان نقلها أصلح للمسلمين أو من دار حرب إلى دار الإسلام. The Ahnaf, they said, it is disliked to transfer it. They don't say it's, you know, they said it's disliked. The other three schools, they said, no, you cannot transfer it.
But the Ahnaf, they said it's disliked to transfer it, except if you transfer it to kinship that they are in need for it, for your zakah, and also that will reinforce the relationship, the kinship relation between you and them. Or you give it to a group that they are in much need of it than the people of your locality. And if transferring this zakah, the obligatory charity, it is going to be beneficial to the Muslims, then it's okay to transfer. But again, they said it's disliked to transfer the people, the school of Abu Hanifa. Or you can, he said, it's okay to transfer if it is being transferred, the zakah being transferred from the house, from the country where is the war, to the country where is Islam. This is transferring zakah. So basically, what is the best opinion? It's really to give your zakah to the local people. If you want to, no trouble, no nothing, so make sure that you give your zakah to your local people. Some people said no, at least if you want to give zakah to overseas and you are in America or you are in Europe, then you must give the zakah if you want to transfer your zakah, at least one third versus two thirds. At least keep one third here and you can send two thirds, or you can keep two thirds here and transfer one third. A lot of brothers and sisters ask this question. They said, is any zakah on my house that I live in? There is no zakah on your house that you live in. You are not putting it for sale. Okay? If you live in it, using it to live in it, there is no zakah on it. Is any zakah on my car that I drive? There is no zakah on your drive, the car that you drive. How about the tools that I work with? The tools that you work with, there is no zakah on them. Let's say someone who is a construction company has tools, there is no zakah on the tools. Some scholars permitted the wife, if she is rich, to give her own zakah to her husband if he is poor, because the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, she gave her husband her zakah. Again, you give to the poor what suffices him for several months or a whole year. Brother, I have a house for rent. Is there any zakah on it? Yes, there is zakah on that income of the house. The house for sale? Yes, there is zakah on it. So this is basically the zakah. I covered most of it, you know, most of this from last time lecture, and this time is very condensed by the zakah, but I brought the major points that, you know, govern this issue. There are many Muslims, especially in the West and even in the East, they are not aware about their zakah, and they think when they give a voluntarily charity, that means they already fulfill the third pillar of Islam, which is obligatory charity. No, obligatory charity differs, and it is different, totally different from the voluntarily charity. So a lot of brother and people, also a lot of new converts in this country, they become Muslim, they make salah, they do everything, and they go make hajj and they fast Ramadan, but when it comes to zakah, they don't know, even though they make, some of them mashallah have their businesses, some of them are very very wealthy, but they really do not give the obligatory charity, which is the zakah. They only give voluntarily charity here and there, but that does not count as to be the obligatory charity. So this is very important to learn the zakah in this country. Very, very important. Because this is will make us fulfill our third pillar of Islam, which is the zakah. Or some people, you know, they may, you know, have a lot of money saved up, but they don't know, you know, whether to give zakah on that money or not. Again, to sum up, that you must pay the zakah 2.5% on your zakah after the nisab. The nisab means the minimum, which is equal to 85 grams of pure gold. Once, or worth of that 85 grams of gold, worth money. In other words, if the gram of the pure gold is $10, times 85 grams, that's $850. That means the minimum that you can pay zakat on to be considered. When you are considered to pay zakat, when you have at least, for example, the money that equals to 85 gram of pure gold, and you must acquire the price of a gram of pure gold from your locality, and time it by 85 grams, and this is how much your minimum that you must pay zakat, obligatory charity on. And then if you have more than the minimum, then you calculate 2.5%. If you have $5,000 and they stay with you 1 year, lunar year, you must pay 2.5% on those $5,000. Your inventory, if you are a businessman, you must calculate that. You must calculate, like I said earlier, if you have a house for rent, or house for sale, or car for sale, you must calculate it by the end, when the time is due to pay your obligatory zakah. You must calculate your savings and your whatever in your checking account. All that, if it is above the minimum and stays with you more 1 year, one lunar year. When we say one lunar year, means from Ramadan to Ramadan, from Sha'ban to Sha'ban, from Shawwal to Shawwal, and etc. This is how it works. So you must pay your zakah. You must pay. We should not play with this, because this is very, very important. Very, very important. And Allah knows best. I believe I come to an end, and inshallah, may Allah reward you for listening. If you have a question, if I can answer it, I will. If it is not, we have Sheikh Adli beside, stand by. Inshallah, he can answer some of your questions.